The Jason Explanation of Communication.
One of the major blessings of modern communication is, of course, the telephone. How marvellous it is to speak to someone from a distance and to understand exactly what they say. Excuse me. Hello?
Hello, David.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who? Listen, darling.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get away from old what's-her-name this evening?
Mm-hmm.
Because if so, I'll meet you at the you-know-where. And then you and I can have a little of the old one, too. Okay?
Yes. You mean sort of, well, like, you know, that sort of thing?
That's right. Bye.
Bye. Ah, well, that's good news. Aunt Edie is going to do my ironing after all.
Although I'm filthy rich, it's true, nobody understands me. I'm not that much superior to you, but nobody understands me. I talk to anyone, I'm not proud, and I talk in a voice that's nice and loud. I tell chaps that, like me, they might be just as rich if they were just as bright. But the only ones who listen, I think, are those who want me to buy a drink. And buying friendship is wrong, you see. You can't claim it back on VAT. And nobody understands me.
Though I'm pursued by many men, they never understand me. Talk to them for hours on end, but they never understand me. My life's very simple to unfurl. I'm a very, 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 very complex girl. I know just what I want, all right, and that's to be listened to half the night by some young man who understands my soulful dreams and hopes and plans and doesn't just say that. Instead, he could listen much better if he got into bed. And really, understand me.
Now, I'm a member of Parliament, and nobody understands me. Your governmental incumbent, yet nobody understands me. When first I won your vote, it's true, I meant nearly all I said to you. I stood for freedom, wealth and peace, and more for the pensioners and police. Of course, things haven't changed since then, so I stand for the same things once again. But if we did change things, you see, there'd be no more work for chaps like me. Yet nobody understands me.
Today, there are exciting things happening in the world of communications. And I'm not just talking about what goes on at BBC parties.
Though I could tell you a thing or two, I could tell you.
For years now, man has been trying to communicate with animals. I mean, Shakespeare started it. Out, damn Spot! Out, I say! Go on, get out, go on! I've always wondered what poor Spot had done. And now, you will have seen on television that scientists are establishing definite language communications with chimpanzees. Personally, I'm willing to bet that the first thing a fully fluent chimp will tell us is that he can't stand any more cups of tea. Other animals, of course, may have other things to say.
Hello and welcome. I'm talking now to Britain's foremost authority on communication with animals, Professor McNay, who is...
Not McNay, actually.
I'm terribly sorry. Professor...
It's McWinnie.
Of course, Professor McWinnie.
Yes, nearly got it right.
Professor, you are our leading authority on animal communication, and it's very good of you to spare the time to talk to us today.
Not at all. It's so nice to talk to a human being again. See, I've spent all morning listening to hour after hour of quite meaningless gibbering.
Well, I suppose that must be quite usual.
Yes, you'll find out for yourself when you get married. Now then, what can I show you?
Well, perhaps an example of an animal with which you have established a form of communication.
Certainly, certainly. Now look, let's see. Ah, yes, over there we have our champion communicating dog, Spot. Yes, don't do that, Spot. Now, you'll notice that Spot is wagging his tail, you see, from side to side. Now, he is telling me that he is hungry and that he likes me.
Ah, yes, so, and what would he be saying if he wagged his tail up and down?
Then he'd be saying that he isn't hungry, but he still likes me.
But how would he communicate that he is hungry but doesn't like you?
He'd bite a chunk out of my leg. But for something a little more specific, how about this fellow in this cage over here, look?
Ah, yes. Now, that's a gesture I can really recognise and understand. I don't think I quite recognise the breed of animal, however, sir.
It's a two-fingered sloth. Now, over there, you see in the compound, that's our elephant.
Ah, yes, sir. Does it communicate?
Yes, he does. A little. It knows one communication gesture, and oh, look there, it's doing it now. We've only ever managed to teach it that one gesture, but as a true elephant, of course, it's never forgotten it.
Fantastic, sir. Really. What does the gesture actually mean, sir?
Well, it's, I don't know, I've forgotten.
Tell me, sir, have you had much success with birds and communication?
Ah, birds. No, well, not a lot. There is a pigeon which brings us messages strapped to one of its legs.
Well, that's not very remarkable, is it, sir?
No, not really. We can't read its writing. And then, oh yes, over here, in this glass case, we have Ollie, our owl. Oh, he's coming along very nicely, isn't
Ollie? Oh, yes, sir. But, Professor, this is a stuffed owl.
Ah, quite correct. Smart lad. You spotted that. Quick of you, eh? It is indeed a stuffed owl.
Yes, sir. Well, how does it communicate, sir?
One knock for yes, two knocks for no. Well, finally, I'd like to show you our star pupil, and here she is, Elsie, the female gorilla.
Oh, yes, I say she's magnificent, isn't she,
yes,
sir? What a great, huge, savage-looking beast,
sir. Yes, please, don't get too close, you see, in the cage, because you don't look out, she's grabbing, she's got it. Oh,
help!
Yes,
I got it,
sir. Quite, don't panic.
Help.
Don't panic, young man, stay perfectly still, and listen.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Fantastic. Do you understand what that means?
Good grief, of course not, sir. What does it mean, sir?
Well, it means that she tried to chat you up. She wants to know whether you want a white wedding or a registry office, because she can get the polar bear for the white wedding.
Help,
no, it's all right.
Help.
You'll be very happy.
Of course, some people can't leave anything alone, can they? I mean, having established that we can communicate with animals, they start telling us we should talk to our plants. Now, I've got a tall, elegant rubber plant, an aspidistra of impeccable pedigree, and a window box full of asparagus. None of them would lower themselves to talk to me.
Hello, planties. Hello there. Who's a pretty polyanthus then, eh? How's my little geranium-wanium today, then? I've got a little dwinky-winky to quench your thirst.
Goldie's off again.
Oh, I wish to God he'd never heard of this theory about talking to your plant.
Yeah. And a great big splashy of water for you today, rubber plant. There.
You'd think he'd have learnt by now that I can't stand water first thing in the morning.
Oh, dear, you've got a little crushed leafy, haven't you, rubber plant?
He'll have more than crushed leafies if he starts cutting bits off again.
The swan!
They're all better now.
Well, I don't reckon humans are that intelligent, do you, rubber plant? I mean, you don't hear plants going about discussing each other's tootsie buds, do you?
Well, your little tootsie buds are coming along nicely, aren't they, Geranium?
I hope he doesn't play us that ruddy Mozart again tonight, Geranium. Radio 3's all you ever get in this rotten house, and me an Elton John fan and all.
At least we're not lumbered with Radio 1. I mean, remember what happened to that African violet next door?
No, what happened to her?
They played her half an hour, Tony Blackburn, and she was dead within the hour.
What a nasty way to go. Mm. I'd rather be uprooted, I think, any day, wouldn't you?
Yeah. There, Plantipoos, now you're feeling better, aren't you?
Feeling better? Oh, I'm chilled to the roots I am now, you stupid great Burke.
Got a little surprise for you, Geranium Poopsie, and for you as well, Rubbery Flubbery.
I can't stand that name, you know.
Yes, I'm going to sponge down your little green leafies. Splash and polish and wipe the grime.
Get out of there!
Splash and polish and sponge and shine. There, nice clean planties. Oh, my, you are looking well. It pays to be kind and loving and gentle to all God's creatures, doesn't it, planty friends, eh?
Hello, dear. Breakfast ready?
Shut your face, you stupid cow. I'm looking after the plants, aren't I?
And now, for all you out there in Radio Wonderland today, and for one very special person indeed, personally, it's Radio Personal Message Spot. And let's just see now who sent in their personal message today. I'll just dig deep in my mailbag here and come up with... Yes, Here's today's lucky postcard. And what a nice postcard it is, too. It's a picture of... Well, it's a picture of somewhere, but it's a bit smudged. But I know that's a very nice place indeed, wherever it is. But never mind that, because here's the personal message, and it's from Pam. Or perhaps it's Pete. I can't quite make out your writing, Pete. Or Pam. Maybe it could be Paul. Well, anyway, you know who you are, I'm sure, and you want me to dedicate the next record to all your pals at the shop. Yes, shop. Or is it on the ship? Or at school? Yeah, well, never mind, because I'm sure all the pals of Pam, or Pete, or Paul, well, they'll all know where they are. And, of course, you've all got a special reason to celebrate, because it's your golden O-level results on September the 1st, 1972. Sorry, bit behind there, Pam. Pete, or could it be Paul? But anyway, congratulations, and let's have your record. Well, actually, I'm afraid we haven't got the record you want on the programme today because it's obscured by the postmark. But here for you is a record by someone else. Yeah, and remember, everyone, same time, same place tomorrow for another radio personal message spot. That's the wonderful thing about radio. It puts people in touch with each other. One of the unique forms of communication between the sexes is marriage. So, of course, is divorce. That's one message you can't mistake. My researchers tell me that there will soon be four times as many divorces as marriages, and... No, wait a minute, that can't be right. Should be three at the most. Oh, I give up. Mind you, some wives never give up.
Is there anybody at this séance who wishes to talk to somebody who is no longer with us?
Oh, yes, I'd like to talk to my husband, George Braithwaite. He's about 5'10" with brown hair and skin trouble.
No, I'm a medium. I'm not interested in his body.
Well, neither was I. Just thought maybe if I talk...
Shush. Oh, I'm sorry. We shall begin. Are you there, George Braithwaite?
Answer the man, George.
Oh, shush, please.
Well, it's just he never comes when you call. You have to keep on at him, if you know what I mean. Here, let me try.
Are you there, George Braithwaite?
Oh, hang on. All right, what is it now, Doris?
Where have you been? You're late.
Yeah, well, of course I'm late. I'm dead, aren't I? Now, what is it you want, Doris? Only must be quick. I'm on my way to a party.
Party in Limbo?
No, it's in Balham, actually. There's a deserted disco down there. One of our haunts, you might say. One of our haunts. Not bad, eh, for me, Doris.
George!
Sorry, Doris.
George, dear, when you were lying close to death, there was something you forgot.
Oh, Eck, it wasn't our anniversary, were it?
No, George, you forgot to tell me where you'd put that £15,000 you'd taken out of your bank the day before.
Oh.
Where's the money, you old Scrooge?
Please, Mrs. Braithwaite. Let's not vulgarise the tone of the séance.
Sorry.
George, have you any messages for us from the other side?
Hang on, I'll check. Anybody got any messages?
Yeah, I've got a little gas on.
Okay. Hugh Winthrop wants to tell his wife, Deirdre, that he thinks he's left the gas on.
But Mrs. Winthrop died in an explosion this morning.
Oh, it's all right, Hugh. You can tell her yourself. She'll be here in a minute.
George, dear, about that money.
Oh, shut your face.
George!
You're an old nagbag, Doris. Look, living with you is like purgatory. Hey, what am I saying? I know some nice people in purgatory.
Oh, can you say that, George? We had some good times.
Oh, that's true, Doris, that's true. For 20 years, you and I were deliriously happy.
Oh, George.
Then we met. Mind you, no, to be fair, you got the sort of body, Doris, that every man longs for.
Oh, thank you, George.
Rippling chest muscles, enormous biceps, the great big...
Who's that with you, George Braithwaite?
Oh, just another heavenly body, dear.
I expected that brazen little hitchhiker they found with you. No wonder you didn't notice the bridge was raised.
Please, let's retain some dignity.
Fatty!
Oh, for goodness sake, Mr. Braithwaite, act your age. Please, for all our peace and quiet, you may as well tell Mrs. Braithwaite where you put that money.
Yes, George, after all, you know what they say. You can't take it with you.
That's true, Doris. They do say that. But can they be sure? Who do you think's throwing all the parties then, Doris, eh? Hey, come on, Hugh, let's get going before your wife gets here.
One of the great media of communication in any language is poetry. That's what it says here.
Anyway, I think we are about to prove just how true this is by listening to England's most successful poet of the age. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't Pam Ayres.
Oh, or it's great without a doubt to be an overnight success. You don't need much to write about, just call yourself a poet S. Who'd ever think that little me could be a star of radio, films, newspapers, magazines and TV? It went a bitty to my head to be proclaimed the people's bard, but if you'd like to get ahead, I'll tell you how it isn't hard. First put some words down in a row, a line or two of someone's patter. Those subtle rhymes of long ago, to tell the truth, don't really matter. Now add to this banality a little sentimentality. Some bunny rabbits or a mouse, a fluffy cat from someone's house. Oh dear, I've changed the rhyme scheme, how perplexing. Well, never mind, my readership is half dyslexic. Where was I now? Oh yes, the man to send your poems to, it's the publisher who's fat or tubbish. He'll let you know without ado your poetry's a load of rubbish. You know what that means, don't you? Well, it means your stuff will sell and sell.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, of course, poetry is all very well in its place. But to find out what life is really about, I prefer the newspapers. And over here, we have a vital link in modern communications, the newspaper seller. Now, let's have a listen to his call.
Kangoolin Womp, run the pop! Kangoolin Womp, run the pop!
Yes, well, that's a typical newspaper seller's cry, and it means we have to buy a paper to find out what's happened. Could I have a paper, please? Yes, thank you. Right, now let's see what's happened. Blimey, it's Kangoolin Womp, run the pop!
I open the papers and scan what I see. This shock, horror, outrage is too much for me.
I'd read all the papers without any doubt, if only I knew what they're talking about.
When is a businessman's profit rate? Only a flow of cash. Now when does a hurry escalate into a mercy dash? Pounds never fall, they fluctuate. And influence spans the globe. Policemen just investigate, but detectives always probe.
It's frightfully irritating, isn't it?
Irritating. Now reading The Guardian isn't much fun. You miss all the news, disentangling the pun.
The text of The Telegraph isn't inspired. It's written by majors and colonels.
Retired. Why does a row always escalate? When is a row a storm? Why do deviants deviate from the accepted norm?
Sources are always reliable. Prices all tend to climb. Bankrupts are always viable at this moment in time.
You are so right.
Oh, my dear.
Now Beaverbrook headlines are snappy and bold.
A pity the news that's beneath them so old. With news in the Sun, I cannot disagree.
Especially the news that they print on page 3.
The anguish and perils, the riddles and scare have brought me right down to the edge of despair. Oh, take away quickly, oh, somebody please,
the shock,
horror,
outrage,
or the bad journal. Good evening, news.
I love the old standards.
Well, that's communications today. But what of communications tomorrow? Or even communications a week next Thursday? Well, I believe that the great challenge will be to establish communications between ourselves and alien races from the stars. Actually, I don't think it will be all that difficult to understand strange beings from other worlds. After all, most of us can already understand what Patrick Moore says.
What's that? Something big up there in the sky. Oh, it's landing. It looks like a giant saucer. Oh, dear. I know I should never have had that third brown ale. Now there's something getting out of it. It's coming towards me.
Hail, oh, Earthling.
How do you do?
I am from the planet Xenos. Look at me closely, Earthling, and tell me what you see.
Yes, well, four legs, five arms, a big nose in the centre of your chest.
But do you notice anything peculiar about me?
Well, you've got a funny accent.
Ah, I am an ambassador from outer space. I bring you greetings of peace and love and friendship.
Peace and love and friendship? Well, what are you, some kind of red?
No, I am not red. I am green.
Oh, yes. Oh, you are. Oh, look, look. I mean, if you're really an ambassador from outer space, I suppose we should shake hands.
How do you mean?
Well, like this, see? Oh, oh, your hand's all cold and wet and clammy.
Oh, thank you, Earthling. You are too kind. Do you know what this action between us means on my planet?
No, what?
It means you and I are now engaged, darling.
Oh, no, 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 go on, steady, steady, get your hands off. And that one, go on. Now, now, wait a minute, mate, no, I'm a bloke. Look, I'm bald, and I've got a moustache, look, and I'm wearing an old boiler suit and wellies.
Yes. My God, but you're beautiful.
Oh, yeah, steady, steady. Yes. Oh, hold hard. Now, listen. Are you saying that the way I look is the way a beautiful woman looks on your planet?
Yes. But there is just one thing wrong. Tell me, are those teeth your own?
Well, no, not actually. They're false.
Then take them out and let me gaze upon your full beauty.
They're never going to believe this. They're not the pup.
Oh, Earthling, my heart's delight.
Oh, steady, steady.
I would ask you to come with me now back to my planet. Only I'm afraid that you would find the life there too hard.
Oh, well, why? Well, what do your sort of women have to do?
Firstly, my sweet, they are not allowed to go to work.
Yeah. You mean not work at all?
Correct. Unless, of course, they get a note from the doctor.
Yeah, well, so what do they do all day? Cooking? Cleaning?
No, no amusement whatsoever, beautiful one.
Do you have anything on your planet that looks like the things we call women?
Oh, certainly. They are our pets.
Pets?
Yes, Earthling. Most families keep one, and we will have one too. Then, when I am away on business, it will be something for you to play with.
Oh, I see. Yeah. What about children?
Ah, yes. This may be very difficult for you to accept. You see, I will want us to have a child.
I see. Well, in that case, there is one thing I've got to say to you.
Yes, Earthling, what is that?
If it's a girl, can we call it Harold?
And that's all from this edition of the Jason Explanation. It was presented by me, David Jason, with Sheila Stiefel, Royce Mills, and the music of John Owen Edwards. And there you are. That's communication. To put it in a nutshell, if you could, communication is basically about two people getting in touch with each other. Oh, I don't mean that sort of touch. Though, that is communicating when you come to think about it. And when you think about it, which I do most of the time, it's much more fun than talking. So, let's stop talking and have more feeling. They say love is blind, that's why men have to feel their way about. So, communicating is getting in touch.
The Jason Explanation of Communication was written by Colin Bostock-Smith, Alastair Beaton, Andy Hamilton, and Barry Pilton, and produced by Geoffrey Perkins.